Let me get my cough out the way. But God is so good. Good to see Sister Rosie. She's still not too well. But and Sister Angie came up and took care of her lunch. What a great lady she is. Help Sister Rosie up, man. Amen. Can you believe it? The first time in my life that I've ever had just a bowl of salad and two egg rolls and went to bed. Unbelievable. That's not believable. Last night I did that. I'm amazed at myself sometimes. I thought of it, a bowl of salad, me. I don't even like salad. I went to bed, me. Where are the days of steaks and onions and curry chicken? You know what I'm talking about? I couldn't believe it. Anyway, it's amazing. I'm still amazed at myself. I'm still talking about it. I talked to Angie and Rosie today. What I done? They're the one that make it. So then Sister Angie wanted to give me another bowl. I said later today. I love it. Good to see you all, Adriana. Good to see you, everybody. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Are you happy? Praise God. Trying to clear my voice. Sister Letty, that was good. Brother Andrew, that was good. Praise God. God, God is so good, eh? God is so good. All right, so we're back tonight in church in the house of the Lord. We're back again tonight, and we want to, today we had an awesome time, and I want to again take my time, and I want to go into, it's a lot to say about this chapter and this, especially this verse, and the 40th chapter of Isaiah, you cannot run through it, and you have to go slow, because it deals with man, the state of man, our unworthiness. It deals with the grace of God, His awesomeness, His glory. It deals with our nature. It deals with carving us out of one image, one nature. Matter of fact, one dimension to another, because we came out of the first Adam, and then we were placed into the second Adam. And I showed you today from very clearly from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, show you the corruptible, the incorruptible. We were taken out of the first Adam into the last Adam. He quickens us by the Spirit. It's by the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Spirit is that cunning workman. It's the Holy Spirit that works in our lives. See, God works in our life through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit carves us into the image of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to go back a little bit right here to, because God shows us who we are, and God shows us how we can be changed and what changes us. I have to read, okay? I have to read it. Comfort ye, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, said your God. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. that her iniquity is pardoned. For she had received of the Lord's hands double for all her sins. Speaks of Jerusalem. The fall, rise of Jerusalem. The sorrow, the mourning, we find the barren woman, the married wife. We can go through that in Isaiah 54 that deals with the sorrow of Jerusalem, the rise of Jerusalem, the establishment of Jerusalem as a kingdom. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, that's the messenger, a forerunner. We find that John the Baptist was a forerunner, came in the spirit of Elijah, and Elijah is supposed to come at the second advent of before that great and terrible day. Malachi tells us that. Now he said, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert is a highway for our God. Now we know that the wilderness, the desert, these are just don't think of the wilderness up in Mariposa or some wilderness making a highway there. Okay, think of the wilderness in your life, in your own life, in the human family. Okay, just put it there. The desert, the empty space. Think of the wilderness. What would you think of? The desert. Those would be the uncultivated areas in our lives, right? It's not developed. It's not rich. It's empty. It's not taken over by the Word of God. There's weeds there. There's worldliness there. There's all kind of things there that has been planted because of the fall that needs to be rooted up. The works of the flesh are there in our lives. So all of these has to be taken out of our lives, and God is making a highway. God is planting in our hearts righteousness, where we become the tree of our trees of righteousness, where God cultivated. That's what God is doing. When you sit in church tonight and hear the word of God, is that God weeding up? You see, some farmer goes out and he looks in the field and it's not cultivated, it's not developed. But here, Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to reach into your hearts, the areas of your hearts and our hearts, and to cultivate those areas and to develop those areas in our hearts, right? Amen. Now, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. We dealt with that, where God's going to smooth out all those areas in our lives until where God can do and build upon our lives, or in our lives. Now, and the glory, see when all this happened, the wilderness, and when God began to work and cultivate and those undeveloped, uncultivated areas in our lives, okay, remove the darkness in our hearts, in our lives, in our mind, the enmity. Here's what's going to happen. Oh, the glory, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Something is going to happen to you. See, we go from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Something is going to happen to you. A glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together. What the scripture says, that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, even as the waters cover the sea, and all men shall know me. For the mouth, this is it, you can go when God says something, you stand on the word of God. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? This is what you cry. This is what the message is. All flesh, and I want you to look and pay attention. All flesh is as grass. Okay? All flesh is as grass. So when we put a lot of confidence in the flesh, and you care more about the flesh than you do God, about this fleshly man than you do God, you're in trouble, because that's grass. Now, it's telling us who we are. For all flesh is as grass. And all, what? And all, verse 6. For all the, is it verse 6? The voice cry, yes. What shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness. And there's a little word number, goodliness. And all the goodliness, what does it say? Godliness. Godliness? Loveliness. Loveliness. And all the loveliness, the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Because you notice that humanity, they rise up. Did you know? And do great things. But after a while, the next generation, or maybe even before that generation passed away, don't even remember him after he's dead and gone. How many people in here tonight how many presidents there were, or they are? How many? How many presidents?
45.
You see what I'm saying? How many presidents? 45. Tell me the names of the president. Most of us here, most Americans, cannot name the 40, you know, all the presidents. If they get by, so that's what I'm saying. But look at all what they've done. And even great men like Reagan, President Reagan. You know, some people don't even know. Huh? They cannot tell you. We have some living presidents that some students cannot even tell you. So what all the greatness? Where is it? It's gone. What about all these great movie stars? When I was growing up as a young man, I loved Westerns. And I used to believe it was true. And, and I'd go to the movies, and here's this man would get shot in one movie. Then I'd see him after a while in another movie. Then I'm wondering, how come he's, my little mind, how come he's in this movie if he had died in that other movie? See, but we grow up to realize that there's a lot of phony things in this world. But notice, even great speeches that men have done, like even great men like Martin Luther King, great speeches. But how many people really remember some of these? So, like the grass and the flowers, we do great things. Some of the great buildings and the riches. When they're dead, who remembers them after a while? You see, who remembers? The presidents. How many people remember them and call their names? It's that's the way it is. It's not abiding. So when you heap up to yourself the things of the world, you're forgotten. Amen. After a while, you're forgotten. There's nothing there. When you put all your confidence in a man or in someone, and they're dead. I mean, I'm not trying to discourage you, but your family, your closest, we'll cry and weep and mourn. But trust me, after a while, you're by yourself. They put flowers a few times, and visit you a few times. But in a few years, you're forgotten, if it's that long. So, you cannot put your confidence there. Okay, so that's what the Lord is trying to show us. The Lord is trying to show us that the glory of man will fail. The achievement of man will fail. It's like grass. It's like the flower that it's beautiful while it's blooming. But after a while, it's gone. It's cut down and it's gone. Now, if you listen, it's beautiful because in verse 7 now says, the grass withereth. Okay? He's using the cutting of the grass to show you our glory. What man achieved, it's withered. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. Okay? It's gone. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely, the people is grass. Nations are grass. If you go back and find out and look in the scripture, Daniel saw the image of gold, right? Silver, brass, and so. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. But where is the golden image? The kingdom. Huh? When Nebuchadnezzar got up and isn't this great Babylon that I have built? And that was overturned in a night. Where is the Persian Empire? The Medes and the Persians. Where is the Grecian? Alexander the Great died, was 33 and a half years or something like that. A young man. Where are the Roman Empire and all of that greatness? Bringing us down now to the image of the toes and the iron. But you see one where the Assyrians, the Egyptians' empire. Now, Egypt is not the great kingdom that it used to be. One of the first civilization. But all these great things come and gone. Okay? Because they were corruptible. They're not incorruptible. They're shakable. Okay? They're not unshakables. They're not the unshakables. Amen. They are corruptible. Yes. They're just for a time. Amen. You go back and look at some of the great, when I was growing up, and I had favorite, I was going to say gospel singers, but really I had some favorite, you know what I'm talking about, rock and roll singers. I was going to say sinners. My mouth slipped, but singers. The rock and roll singers. And I had some, you know, and I could say they were my idols. And I'd go to bed singing. I could hardly get them out of my mind. But do you know what? They're dead and gone. And I don't even remember them. I don't remember their songs, and I don't miss their songs. Okay. Because even the scripture says heaven and earth. Can you imagine? Heaven and earth would pass away, but my word will never pass away. So it says that the glory, the kingdoms of men and all of that passes away. Family, you went to school and schoolmates, but where are they? Huh? Every once in a while, sometimes try to have a school reunion and all of that, but finally it's over, it's gone. You try to keep the thing alive, but it's still going to come to an end. And here, it tells us that, verse 8, is it? The grass withereth, and the flowers fadeth. That means the people comes and the people go. One generation passeth away, and another one cometh. But here is your security. Here is your security. Here is something that cannot be removed. Here is something that cannot be shaken. And this poor man cried to the Lord. See, the word of God is the only foundation, the only stable foundation. The only thing you can put your confidence in and your trust in is the word of God. Everything else will pass away. I mean, you know when you look in the mirror, you are young. Yeah, young, and you know, you think you'll never get old, and you feel strong, beautiful, and You feel that, well, you know they call it on top of the world? Oh, yeah. And finally you realize the world is on top of you. And he says now, the grass withered and the flower faded, but. You see that little letter word, but? But the word of our God shall stand forever. That's something to shout about. The grass withered and the flower faded away. The fame, the fortune of this world. Even the first Adam will pass away. Dust thou art. From dust thou art taken. Unto dust shalt thou return. In the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. And he says that the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our God, the word of our God, notice, our God, who's God? Not the God that's carved out with idols. No. See? So we have our God. Now, notice he's talking about in verse 20 that a poor man. Okay? It's talk about one that is so impoverished, he has no oblation. Now, we just came through the poor man. We came through a man that's poor. The Bible said he's dust. He's only grass like that mown down. He's the flowers that's cut down. He has nothing. He passes away. And this poor man that has nothing to give God, amen, nothing to stand on, but one thing I have, one thing you have, you can make a choice. You can make a choice. And you can choose to move on. You can choose to get out of that first Adam. You can choose to get out of that corruptible nature. You can choose not to be found at the second advent of God's Son into the world, to be found into that first Adam with a fallen nature. But you can choose to be found in him. As the scripture said, that and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but having the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we chose to be in the second Adam. We had no oblation. We were poor, like that thief on the cross. What did he have? He had nothing. He is dying. But what did he say? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day, today, you will be with me in paradise. And was it the Pharisee or the publican that went up? And when this rich man, the Pharisees, up there and bragging of how he fasted and what he tithed, the publican smote his breast. He did not have anything like the man that the good Samaritan rescued. He did not have anything, but he smote his breast and says, God, are you with me? Be merciful unto me, a sinner. And that man went home justified. He went up, had nothing. He had no oblation. He had no offering. He had no sacrifice. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of God. They shall be called the children of God. They have because you're poor in your spirit, you're not rich in your spirit. And you have nothing to give, only to the cross of Jesus Christ you cling. You come a poor man and you have no oblation, but you stand before that old rugged cross. Amen. See that cross that's hewn out. Amen. and you stand before it, and you let the Holy Spirit. You receive Jesus as your Savior, and you let the Holy Ghost carved out by the cross that image of God in your life. Amen. Unto where, like Paul, you could said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ. See, when you've got that mark, that image of Christ is the image of God that's inside of you. Mark that was hewn out on Calvary. Christ came that we might be like him. Christ came and he destroyed the old image. Remember? We were under the sentence of death. And we were afflicted and tormented and afraid to die. And the devil oppressed us. But Christ came to destroy him that has the power of death. And he redeemed us by the cross. Hallelujah. And so Paul said, God forbid. Let's say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I live, yet not I, but Christ Jesus liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. But, I underline that. But what? But the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, what was that poor man seeking? He was seeking an image that would not, could not be removed. Is there anything or anyone knows anything that stands forever? The word of God. And it's thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's the word of God that changes our hearts. Like Jeremiah said again, it's the word of God that's inside that burns like a fire. Shut up in your bones. Now, the word. Where did the word come from? In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Amen. See, the word was God. The same word was in the beginning with God. And the word, notice here. See? The word became something. The word became flesh. And dwell among us. Now, it's that word that's dwelling among us. It's the word that's dwelling among us. That the word dwell among us. To do what? To carve us into the image of Christ. Amen. Tonight, where do we stand? We stand before the word. We stand upon the word. We have the word of God in our hearts. Why? Because it's the word of God that's changing us into the image and the likeness of God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And when Elisha said, when Elijah said, ask something, what do you want? Elisha said, give me a double portion of your spirit. Amen. That's a hard thing. But nevertheless, if you see me, when I go away, you will receive it. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ came. He said, I'll go away, but I will send the Comforter. Comfort ye my people, said the Lord. How? By the Comforter of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So the Holy Ghost came, was sent to comfort us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elisha had to see Elijah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we have to see Jesus. Sir, we would see Jesus.
Amen.
And when you and I, with open face, come and behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, something is going on. This poor man that has no oblation, that has no sacrifice, that has nothing to offer, but he comes with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of God. He sees it like Elisha did. And because he saw it, it changes him. Because he saw it, he received a double portion of the Spirit. And you and I, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of God. We'll change in the same image. That's the image of Jesus Christ. We're changed from the old Adam, that old image, and a new image is formed. It's new now. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. With open face, we behold the glory of God, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That word changes us. The word of God changes us. Now, help me. Go to James chapter 1 quickly. Verse 8. James, St. James, James chapter 1. Verse, we start at verse 8. A double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Oh, how? See? Exalted. How? Through the word of God. He's not that grass flower cut down anymore. The dust. But the glory of God, when the glory of God is revealed, you're a new creature. He lifts you up into heavenly places. Hallelujah. He raised us up on high.
Yeah.
And we are no more beggars.
Amen.
But we are sons of the living God.
Amen.
Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. He's lifted up, not by men, because promotion doesn't come. But it's from the east, not from the east or west, but from the Lord. But the rich,
in that he is made low,
because as the flower, here we go again, Isaiah 40.
Yes.
Because as the flower of the flower of the grass, it don't get no clearer. He shall pass away. For the Son or the Spirit is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass. And the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. Old age, you lost your beauty. Death, you don't have your popularity anymore. Your God, forgotten. Cut down. And the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. That means it's gone. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. There is what I'm saying. Okay? For when he's tried, remember silver, gold this morning, the lesson? The praise, tried. When he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. Because God cannot be tempted of, God cannot be tempted of evil. Neither tempt ye any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and entice. Next verse, quickly. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us. How? There it is, by the word of truth. How were you hewn? How were you carved out? By the will of God, by the truth, which is the word.
Amen.
That we, hallelujah, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear the word of God, slow to speak, and slow to get upset at the pastor. Or your brothers or your sisters. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. No. Wherefore, lay apart all, notice. You're being carved out. Filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. What? The engrafted word of God, which is able to save you. If you notice, you lay aside one image, the filthiness and superfluity of not, but you're carved out through the word of God and a meek spirit, the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. But be, notice now. What are you going to do? The new image. Be doers. Somebody ought to shout. Be doers of the word. And not just hearers. We tell you and preach and then, amen. But you're gone, dude. You haven't changed. Tomorrow, you'll be just the same. And the only time you change is when you're in church. But be not this, but be doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholding himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgot. No change. But whosoever looketh, shout somebody now. Here's the work. Here's the image being carved out. I mean, here's God working. Here's the Holy Ghost. Here's what you got to do. But whosoever looketh. See, you don't want to look in it. You don't want to come to church and sit down and let somebody break it and open it. You don't want to look in it. Because you're guilty, your conscience. You don't want to change. But I tell you something. It's better to get it right with God now than later. Because if you don't, that image, when he comes back, he will despise it. But you get changed right now. This powerful verse. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue it therein, he being not, everybody say not, He being not a forgetful hearer. You know, if you preach and by Wednesday night, Tuesday, they don't remember. You go to the grocery or someplace and bump in a different spirit. They, as soon as service is over tonight, they take it off. And put on back the spirit they left outside the door. But whosoever looketh, you see, here's what you've got to do now. Whosoever looketh into, that means you've got to search it, you've got to look into it, you've got to find yourself, you've got to meditate. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man, this woman shall be blessed in his deeds. Is there any more? If any man among you seemeth to be religious, notice, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. Now, do you understand that? Now, let's quickly go in closing to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 13. We start there. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 13. Wherefore, now look at this. Let's all, we need to get this. Verse 13. Everybody else, just put all. When you get home, you won't be sorry. Said, I'm sorry I didn't read up. I was sleeping while they were reading. Now I'm going to know if you're awake, because I'm going to look at your lips. Of course, some people can sleep with their mouth open. So, I mean, you know, but. A lot of people does that, you know. So I shouldn't use that. And I hear people talking in their sleep. So it doesn't mean anything. All right, let me go to something else. All right, so are we ready? Okay, we have to look for another sign. Maybe the smile on your face. Wherefore, gird up. Notice what you got to do something. Gird up. You can't let your mind go flabby. You're talking about God, and before you know, you're talking about sports. And you're talking about sports, you're talking about politics, and you just go all over the place. Wherefore, gird up the loins. Who's got to do it? You, with the word. You remember how he gives us the armor, helmet, all these things to gird up? The loins, truth. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and come to church. Be sober. You see, when you miss church and keep missing church, you're drunk. You're drunk with your home. You're drunk with your chair. Your favorite chair. Be sober. Wake up and come to church. You know, you're sober, you're drunk, so you can't find it. You can't remember the address of the church. You can't remember that we have church, the next service is Wednesday night, and we have prayer meeting on Monday. You're drunk. And some of you think it's only Sunday morning. No, wake up. Get out of that drunken condition. We have church on Wednesday. Amen. You got that? Amen. Okay, between now and then, don't drink anything that will make you forget church. So it says be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not, notice, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust. That's the flesh, the works of the flesh, the old Adamic nature. It's dead, supposed to go buried. Not fashioning, go back, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. That means you didn't know the word of God. You didn't have a teacher that's explaining the word of God. You were in that ignorance. You understand? And boy, you thought you arrived. You try to keep that fashion. But remember now, you've got to get out of that fashion. That image. Don't let Christ's return find you into that fashion. That image. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust. In your ignorance. You got to get out of that and be sober. And hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And verse 15 says, but as he which had called you is holy. All right, here it is, holy. He's going to carve out an image that's holy so we can stand before him in holiness, blameless, before him in love. Standing before him in truth, in righteousness. But as he which had called you is holy, so, here's the standard now, that he alone can carve it out. Okay. As he is, so are we in this world. He said, so, this powerful, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, you cannot do it by yourself. That's why you could come, and you have to come to him and surrender to the cross. And it's God, help me, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God has to do it. So you wonder, how am I going to? No, it's God that does it. Surrender to the cross. Because we were created for his good pleasure. And the silver and the gold, what does it have to do? Get in the hand of the goldsmith, the fining pot. He pours it in there, he melts it, pours it, and it comes out into an image as he intended. You and I now, we don't need a goldsmith. But we need a cunning workman. And the Holy Spirit, here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit pours us out into the same mold that Jesus Christ is. He is in the image of God. Now, how do we get in there? Remember now that God dwells in the praises of his people. And when we get in the mold of praise, we are being poured out upon, as our soul, upon the altar of sacrifice. And when we come out, we are like Christ. But as he which had called us is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy. Be ye holy. You can find that in the scripture. Be holy, for I am holy. If he call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass, notice here, pass the time of your sojourning here. Hold on. In sports, in what you want to do, in your pleasure, anything you want to do, and then God is second. You do it first and then come back and try to catch up. Is that what it says? Or am I reading a wrong Bible? He didn't say that. So what should you pass the time of your sojourning here? Because we're only pilgrims sojourning. You're like grass. It's not going to be all the time. So when you doing your thing, I'm going to do my thing. You're not going to listen. What if you die rebelling? You never get back. Well, when I'm finished now, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. But he has to wait. That's what you're saying. Because you're not going to give up anything for him. There's no sacrifice that you're going to make. Remember? We dealt with that about sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. You give yourself. Like Hebrews 12 says that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to what you want to do. It's not you first and God last. You check your heart. Come on. You look into your heart because you've done it. We've done it. But you got to stop. You have to learn to give up something that you want to do. That you like to do. But there's something for you to do for God. And what's the choice? And God's watching you. And God's going to see if when Esau was hungry. Esau didn't know God was watching. Esau didn't know that he was in destiny. Esau was making the greatest decision of his life when he was hungry. But most of us wouldn't. It's a little thing that you don't pay attention to. That's when you're being tested. You don't know when a test comes. To you, it's not a test. To you, I'll do that later. I'll get it done. But here was a test for Esau. Otherwise, it would have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Guess what? Just one wrong decision. It was simple. The man was hungry. Okay? A bowl of stew. His brother was mean. His brother didn't have the family spirit. His brother should have given him a bowl of stew. But Jacob wasn't so. Esau was being tried. And Jacob says, man, when Esau said, give me some of that stew. I'm hungry. I want it right now. That's a problem. I got to have it right now. I need that pleasure. I can't give it up. I've got to have it. Your flesh. Your flesh is really mounting up. And God's just watching and see if you'll give that up. But you're not going to do it. It's afterwards that you try to find God when you accomplish what you want to accomplish. You see what I'm saying now? Yeah, you all listen to what I'm saying. Amen. You all listen and say amen, because you do it over and over and you're going to, no sacrifice. You see, here is when something comes up and you're going to do something. You have it all planned, going to do it, but something come up for God. God's not going to tell you. He's not going to twist your arm, force your arm. But a willing heart. So Esau said, I'm at the point of death. He was a now man. You cannot live for now. Amen. You have to see the future tomorrow. Esau said, what good, look at this, is this birthright to me if I die? No good. Give me the red pottage, the bowl of soup right now. I need it, and I need it right now. Oh, I know there's something to do in church, but look, I'm tired. Let it wait. But it's a now thing. Are we going to have a convention? It's a now coming up thing. But what if you had planned that date for your vacation? What would you do? Well, you see, I had it all planned. See, Pastor, I would have been there, but I had it all planned. You don't understand. You see, Saul King Saul was being tested. Saul should have had the kingdom. It should not have been David. But King Saul, when God told him to do something, God said, go kill the Amalekites. Guess what? He spared them. The best. For himself. That's the problem. You cannot sacrifice the best to God. You keep it for yourself. I was telling you even over the Christmas holiday, I preached some messages there just to encourage you and trying to save you from that busy nonsense. I know you're going to get mad at me. Because, you know, the Christmas trees are down now on the street. I'm not saying you can't put a Christmas tree up, but don't live there. Right. I'm not saying you can't have a nice get-together and a dinner turkey, and because we've had some good dinners here. But don't live there. Get it out of your heart, and it's just a dinner. You understand what I'm saying? Knock it out of your heart. Love Christ more. There was nothing wrong with eating the stew. Okay? But he should not have bought it at the price of his birthright. God wants us to have some fun. But God, not at the price or the expense of putting God second. Because it's a test. Do you think if God's going to give you a test, he's going to say, all right, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I'm going to test you. You might just get a call that you need to visit somebody in the hospital or well, I don't know what it is. And let's see. Do you understand? Test comes in many, many ways. Hallelujah. Test comes in many, many ways. And you don't know that you're being tested. And you just like that because you're not sober. Sober means you watched out from where? Because God has to test you before a promotion. See, some jobs they have, you know, they used to have the glassware two-way where they can see you, but you can't see them. And they watch your action. Somebody be sneaking you on probation to see if you take a little sit down and how long you stay in the bathroom. How often you go in the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? They tell you. You might not think, oh, are you late and leave early? They test you. You might say, oh, no, they're not watching me. You be out of the corner of their eyes. And then it builds up. See, so you have to be wise in the world. And the same thing for church. You don't think pastor, a lot of you don't think pastor knows. Oh, he doesn't know. Come on. If you don't come and talk to your pastor, shake his hand, run away. I sit up here, I don't have to run, and you're always gone. Because here is a good opportunity now. Pastor is chair bound. So it's a good time for me now. All right. See, let me go on in closing. But do you understand what I'm saying? That you can lose your birthright by playing around. And you think that, well, I have it. It's okay, fine, and boo. So Saul thought he had it. But what happened? He didn't have it. And he tried to kill his successor, David. But he couldn't. He couldn't. You see, let me tell you something. You begin to work, begin to witness. You give up because you talk to that neighbor. And they didn't come. But that's not all. We have Sister Rebecca. How many people you always talk to? A lot. Sister Cynthia, was it here because of Rebecca? I want to straighten that out. And we got a drummer. You see, now we have a praiser. We have a shouter because nobody shout like Rebecca. See, I don't think we have too many demons around here because Rebecca shout them out. They said, I'm not going to go to that church because that lady shout too much. But look at a drummer. And don't you witness to others? Who witnessed to Jesse and her daughter? Look at Anita, what she's done. You look around and you see somebody that you witness to. Look at me. I witnessed to Tatiana. I did. All those pancakes and all those dharma passed. You wouldn't leave me. She's stuck. That's my Tatiana. I raised her. Love you, girl. See, you've got to understand now that somebody witnessed. And you start witnessing to somebody. But, well, remember now, there's more than one fish in the ocean. If you didn't catch that one, don't give up. Just keep casting your net. And purpose in your heart that, what if everybody win one this year? Even one. Even one. You know what would happen here? Huh? What if everybody here win two? It's packed out. But you have to open your mouth and witness. And you begin to do that. And between all the convention, you have this place, man. Plus those that, I mean, oh Lord. We have this place real hot. Because we don't want to have a dead convention. And we want people to begin to turning your offering. I am going to find something. My sister Rosie will tell me when, if somebody put anything in the offering. Or make a pledge. Because you can't do nothing without money. Except cry. And sometimes you can hardly cry because they take tissue. You have to paper. It costs money. It costs money. It costs money to cry. I've seen some of you up here testifying and crying. And we have to buy those napkins. So you go on. Yeah. If you don't give to the offering, you better not cry when you're testifying. I mean, it's costing us money, Brother Andre. Am I right? So it costs us for you to cry. Lord, let me close. And if you call on the Father who without respect a person judged according to every man's work past the time of your sojourning here in fear. Next verse. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with, there it is, corruptible things. As the founder, silver and gold, in verse 19 of Isaiah chapter 40. From your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers. But here it is, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ that died on the cross. Behold, the Lamb of God that shed his blood, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Come on, bring it home now. I'm closing it out. Who verily, hallelujah, was foreordained. He cannot be moved before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you at the cross. Who, now you ought to shout here now. You ought to shout for this now. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing he has purified your soul by obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. This is the last verse, I think, right? One more. All right, okay. Notice here now, the carved out. Here's where you're carved out. A new image. Okay? That's incorruptible. That cannot pass away. That's stable. The first one die, the second one live forever. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. By the word of God. Hallelujah. By the word of God. Being born again. not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth, hallelujah, and abideth forevermore. That's the last verse, eh? For all flesh. Hey, there we go back again, the flesh. Somebody shout, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth thereof. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Somebody shout. Somebody give praise. Somebody shout. Hallelujah, somebody. By the word of God that endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, that's the cross, the good news, is preached unto you.